to this week's edition of the Video News In-Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from In-Screen Media is with me as always. Hi, Colin.
Hi, Will. We've got an interesting program today. I think we're going to talk about dueling screens, right?
Big screen versus small screen. Yeah, there's justifiably been a lot of excitement about connected TVs, the big screen. The new living room, as FreeWheel dubbed it some years ago. But of course, there's a lot happening in mobile as well. So there was some research we were both following this week from Extreme Reach, a video ad tech company. And they noted that, at the end of Q1 2019, 49%, almost half of the ad impressions delivered off of their ad server were to connected TVs. So almost half to connected TV. That was up from just 31% a year ago. And what was interesting there as well is that virtually that every other device that video is consumed on, every other device saw a decrease in their number of video ad impressions year over year. So most notably, mobile decreased from 33% last year, Q1, to 25% in this year's Q1. Desktop dropped from 24% a year ago to 17% end of Q1 19. And tablet dropped from 11% to 7% in this past Q1. So in a sense, Extreme Reach's report is saying that the momentum, that connected TV momentum, is basically absorbing share, video ad impression share, from all these other devices. And as they noted in their analysis, and as both you and I know, there's been rapid adoption of connected TVs. They cited data saying that 2/3 of U.S. households owned a CTV by the end of 2018. There have been a proliferation of the ad-supported services, you like to call them the FAST services, the free ad-supported TV services, whether it's Hulu, Pluto TV, Tubi, which announced this week 20 million active users, monthly users, Roku channel, it goes on, and their usage is obviously jumping. And then you have all the virtual MVPDs, the YouTube TVs, the Hulus, with live TVs, the Fubos, et cetera, all of which are growing their subscriber count and also growing their consumption. So you put all that together and there's a huge increase in the supply side, the amount of ad inventory being created on CTVs, and you get the increased targeting and the benefits of attribution and get a lot of buyers coming into CTV. So on the one hand, that's a big, another big validator for the growth of CTV, don't you think? But then there's another story to be said about mobile's growth.
There is. And we'll get to that in just a second. That's pretty interesting. We've talked a lot about CTV growth, and it's good to see that it's actually bearing out in the advertising numbers as well, because as we know, engagement on CTV, on connected TV, is much better than on the other devices, which is really exciting. You know, the growth, really, I was looking at some Comscore data earlier this month, and the growth really seems to be with smart TVs. They're really catching up to the streaming media players. That's not to say that the streaming media players aren't still growing. They are still growing. But the growth is really strong in smart TVs. So people are buying their Roku TVs, Will, and they're hooking them up and they're watching through those. So that seems to be a really good solution. And as you say, I love the way you sort of drew together several threads there. The FAST providers, the free ad-supported TV providers, they're reporting big growth, as you say, Tubi 20 million. But Pluto TV has also said they have 16 million, Xumo TV 5.5 million. And in fact, Xumo said they experienced 80% growth in the last 9 months. 80%. That's pretty amazing. And that all speaks to the fact that people are on the devices now. They're watching a lot more. They're finding new services like these free ad-supported services and using them too. So we really seem to have a virtuous cycle going on here. The more people watch, the more people find, and you know, the more they tell their friends, and their friends want a connected TV and get hooked up. So we seem to be locked into a virtuous cycle, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it does seem that way. And then the other piece of this, as I was starting to mention earlier, and I think we've certainly touched on this in the past, but the Extreme Reach data bears this out, is that the engagement is getting better on the ad side. So we're seeing more of a kind of a traditional TV-like experience, particularly with a rise of 30-second ad spots. So Extreme Reach noted that, a year ago, in the end of Q1 2018, there was pretty much split between 15-second video ad impressions off their server and 30-second video ad impressions. So 48% were for 15-second ads and 46% were for 30-second ads. Flash forward a year later, Q1 2019, and it's quite a different story. Q1 19, 69% of impressions off the Extreme Reach ad server were 30-second spots, and just 28% were 15-second spots. So what? And actually, even beyond that, 60-second spots tripled. Still a pretty small number, but they have increased also. And so you've got some, I think, interesting dynamics happening here as well, that advertisers feel that people who are watching connected TVs they're able to better keep the viewers' attention, run longer ads in front of them, and that may reflect some improvements in targeting and relevancy, attribution, that are allowing advertisers to feel that they can run more of the 60-second spots than the 30-second spots than the 15-second spots.
Yeah, that is fascinating. I was just hunting around for that Extreme Reach research word, and I couldn't see it. Could you just read out? There was also data on 6-second spots that I think both of us were a bit puzzling over. Can you just read out what that data was?
Yeah, well, and 6-second spots, they were just a sliver a year ago. They were 3%. Of video ad impressions. They dropped to 1% of video ad impressions in Q1 19. So they went from a sliver to an even tinier sliver, and hard to interpret exactly what that means, but there was a time not that long ago where 6-second ad spots were getting a lot of attention. Seems like they're fading somewhat in popularity now.
Indeed, and in fact, the other thing about the 6-second spots was that they're actually seeing completion rates fall. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I don't have the completion rate data right in front of me, but yes, there was a drop in 6-second completion rates. Completion rates on both 30 and 15 stayed very high. I think completion rates on 30-second spots average completion rates overall rose from 81 to 90 to 89%, and 30-second spots on CTV had a 91% completion rate. So the 30-second spot seems to be becoming the workhorse in the CTV environment, and it's proving pretty effective.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that really surprised me was CTV completion rates were actually lower than, 6-second completion rates were actually lower than 30 and 60-second completion rates and falling. And I don't know, how is it possible that that could be? Because, how do you bail out of a 6-second spot quickly enough? I mean, it's so short, it's over. They're like blipverts. They're over before you even know it, aren't they?
Well, people's fingers are getting quicker than ever, I suppose. They see an ad pop onto their mobile screen and they quickly exit and move along.
I suppose that must be true. But, you know, it's not all, despite the good news for connected TVs and smart TVs, there is a sizable community of people for which the smartphone is everything that they need, apparently. At least this is according to some research from Pew. I dug around in this new report from Pew about smartphone. They were really talking about this emerging class of people, smartphone internet only users. And it was really, I found it really fascinating, Will, that there's a whole group of people who are really turning their back on the connected TV broadband approach and are really happy and content with everything that they can do on their smartphone. So Pew actually gave some pretty interesting data. They said about 27% of adults say they don't subscribe to home broadband. And 80% of them, that's 22% overall, say they have no intention of getting it. And they actually went on to say that instead, many of these folks that don't get broadband, they rely on their smartphone to go online. And in fact, 17% of them say that they are smartphone-only internet users. That is, they do everything from banking to email to watching video. They do it all on their smartphone. And, you know, this actually was much higher than I was expecting. And actually, it has a bigger impact than that, Will, because the Pew Research went on to say that a broader swath of the population is mobile first than just non-subscribers. They say 37% say they mostly go online using their smartphone. And if you among 18 to 39 year olds, that's even higher, it's 58%. So, you know, that this is a whole group of people who are just sort of opting out of the traditional television model for watching, and that they must be using their smartphones to watch everything, including full-length movies and all sorts of stuff. And this led me to think, we, like I think lots of other people, have really been talking so much about connected TV. There's this fixation with the connected TV and the television itself, and services like Netflix and HBO Now, they're really focused around delivering a great TV experience. That's where they expect people to watch, and that's what they're really gearing all their services to. But the truth is that you know, for the 17% of smartphone internet only users, you're not going to appeal to that group with a television oriented service. You're going to have to come up with something else. And in fact, there was one other piece of information. Well, not one other. There was lots of pieces of information in the Pew Research, but there was one other thing that caught my eye, Will. And that was, they basically said that the 17% of smartphone internet users, they tended to be lower income. And so what that suggests there is price will be an issue for them. And it could be that people like Netflix need to think about offering mobile-only plans. And in fact, funnily enough, this has come up before with Netflix, because Netflix is having a devil of a time being successful in markets like India, where the smartphone is king and where, you know, incomes are much, much lower. And in fact, Netflix is... it's got a tenth of or less of the subscribers of a service like Hotstar, which is the most successful online service there, and that is very cheap and mobile oriented. So I have a feeling that if Netflix wants to continue to grow in the US, that they may actually have to think about some sort of smartphone only plan here, as well as they wrestle with the same problem in India and other places in Southeast Asia. So this could be could be a very interesting time for companies like Netflix as they really figure out how to address the small screen as well as the big screen.
Yeah, those data points that you gave on mobile only households and the usage patterns, I think are so interesting. I've always thought that people kind of took it as a given that a landline broadband connection was going to be better than a wireless broadband connection. But when you talk about what level of people are, I think you said, 17% are smartphone only?
Yeah.
That really speaks to the quality of the wireless, or, you know, whatever, maybe set of quality maybe it's not great quality, but at least it's good enough quality, or there are income issues, but to not take a wired broadband connection. But the idea that you can get by solely on a smartphone, that I think is sort of new news. And certainly, as you said, despite all the sort of excitement about CTV, there may well be a place for a segment of users that CTV isn't relevant, and they're just using their smartphone, or maybe they're using their smartphone to cast to their smart TV, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that very clearly is the case, Will. But it was just, for me, it was just so interesting to see this parallel with something that I have been tracking very closely, which is the struggles of Netflix in Southeast Asia. And we put that down to two things, which is one, it's a connected TV-oriented service, and two, is the price. And those two things, I think, are the real barrier for Netflix to get over. And I have a feeling, although they continue to grow here, I have a feeling it will become a barrier here too. And I being on a smartphone, the reason I think you have to really think differently if you're a video provider to be on a smartphone is that it is a radically different viewing environment than the connected television. When you're watching something on a connected TV, nothing on that connected TV will interrupt your viewing. That is completely the opposite on a smartphone. You have tons of services running in the background, and they are all competing for your attention. You, of course, have social media interrupting you constantly as people make their posts. There are online games available. There's email pinging. There's texting going on. All of these things are demanding your attention. And it just becomes incredibly difficult to, I think, maintain your viewers' attention for any length of time. It's just really difficult. Now, that said, I have seen and processed Conviva data, which seems to suggest that people do sit down and watch for extended periods of time frequently on their smartphone. In fact, when I looked at the balance between short form and long form and live on a smartphone, it was actually pretty even when you looked at the time spent and the video starts. It was pretty even. So people clearly are doing that. But that said, it is still an incredibly interruptive environment, and maintaining the focus of a viewer, stopping them from jumping off and talking to their Facebook friends or playing a game or something like that, it's just tremendously difficult. So I think when providers think about moving with a more sharply focus on mobile, which they should, which this Pew data certainly suggests they should, they have to rethink their strategy and their experience and even their content. It's going to be tough.
Well, yeah, so you're making good arguments for wanting to or needing to focus on the mobile side. And then, of course, we're talking about the data at the beginning of the podcast showing this huge growth in video ad impressions on TV. So I think it's a tricky balance for providers to make these days. And to the extent that TV advertising remains, or I should say linear TV consumption remains under pressure, and there becomes an outlet with CTV to kind of recreate the TV environment, it's going to be awfully tempting for everyone to be wanting to move in that direction. So we'll see how it plays.
I think so. But I think the assumption that you're a primarily connected TV service, I think that's a dangerous assumption to walk around with. You really do need to think about very hard if you want to court those people that consider themselves mobile first consumers. And if that's something that you're not going to worry about in the market, then fine, then continue to do what you're doing. But if you really want to court those, I think you're going to have to go the extra mile. You're going to have to do some things that you aren't doing today in order to keep their attention, get them to subscribe and be a useful service to them.
Yeah, well, it's a good debate, and certainly one we've got a lot of good data on both sides. I think one will continue to look at how the data comes in and see how the trade-offs go between mobile and CTV.
Yeah, and in fact, this is of course harking back to our discussion of Quibi, I think, last week, which you know, we're all I think a little bit incredulous about the Quibi service, wondering if it really can be successful, if they can get the attention of users, get people to subscribe. And it looks at least 17%, if they get the price right, could be predisposed to take a look at it, because they're mobile first. So maybe there's at least some audience that will look favorably on Quibi pretty quickly.
Big if right there, but that was our topic last week, so we won't get back into that one.
Indeed.
All right, Colin, good chatting as always, and thanks everyone for listening on our weekly Video News End Screen Media podcast. And actually, I think next week is going to be a July 4th holiday, Colin, so we may be skipping next week.
I think not maybe. I think it's certain that we will be skipping. I don't know about you, but I have things to do over the July 4th weekend.
All right, short week next week, so we'll see our listeners then in 2 weeks.
Indeed.